You can tell when people are there because they have to be there, or where there's an environment where people want to be there.
Hello, construction industry professionals. You're listening to The Art of Construction, specifically designed for contractors and architects to help grow your business. Here are your hosts, Devin and Kevin.
All right, Kevin, we're going to dive in and have a fireside chat with Gregory K. Hernandez, who is the owner of G. Carl Company. And I wanted to have him into Studio AOC, and we're always talking about get it right on paper and surround yourself around people that you like and trust. And I've talked about the advisory council and people like that along the way. So I thought, what a perfect way to have somebody from my advisory council who is just a top-notch speaker and has taught us to be such a better speaker, and maybe peel back some of the layers and talk about how we have hired him from him doing one sales presentation training class to coming in and being assistant to our company. So, Kevin, give us the lead up of who Greg is, and not from my perception who hired him, but from your perception who's working with him on a day-to-day basis of what he does for us, for Mountain View Window and Door, the sponsor, and how it can tie into the guests. So they definitely want to peel back and listen to this.
In a nutshell, I think what Greg is best at is just being a communication expert. So the reason I kind of bring that up is he talks obviously about presentation, getting up in front of a group, which is important in architecture, building, and design. I think at any point when you're presenting an idea to a client, a group of clients. But it's not just that. It's about the whole idea of being effective with your communication, making it more fun, more passionate, and at the end of the day, getting better results. And, you know, it's worked with our sales team. It's worked with our entire team. And everybody, while initially a little concerned, because like a lot of people say, you know, there's probably only one thing people fear more than death, and that's public speaking. But the reality is we all communicate. We're all selling, whether we think of it or believe it or not. That's the truth. And at the end of the day, it's all about effective communication and getting good results. And he's helped us tremendously with that. So
excellent. So why don't you say we dive in with Greg Hernandez and talk about some real stories about he has truly helped Mountain View grow our business, and that's what this show is all about. So you contractors and architects, let's dive in and talk to Greg about growing our business.
Here we go.
What's your favorite beverage?
My favorite beverage is, let's see, I'm a purist, crystal ice cold water.
Here's a water again,
yeah,
Kevin. We got another water guy.
In order of importance, black coffee, and then fine red wine.
There you go.
There, nice.
Tell us one that the red wine that you love.
Red wine that I love. I love anything from the Rutherford area of Napa, known as Rutherford Dust. It's kind of a nice, thick, bold wine. But then there's times when I'm in the mood for something much lighter, like a Pinot Noir from, let's say, the Willamette Valley area of Oregon.
Cool. So tell us about the favorite place you've traveled.
Speaking about wine, about 5-6 years ago, my wife and I had the opportunity to head out to Tuscany. Of course, we visited the major attractions in Rome, the Colosseum, things along that line, but we purposefully made it a point to not have an itinerary. So we spent about 7 days in the farm region, the grape vineyard area of Tuscany, small town, just blended in with the folks. Took a little hike each day for a cappuccino, and just really had a great time.
That sounds like a nice place to be.
Yeah, I'm ready to sign up.
So tell us your favorite hobby or interest.
I've been a musician my entire life, so when I have time, I'm sitting down at the piano, maybe hammering out the creative side of my brain and coming up with a few tunes, none of which you'll ever hear, most likely, but it helps relax me, tunes me into the creative side. And I spent almost 30 years in the business world, not getting away from it, but now in this new stage of life, I'm starting to get back with it just a little bit more. So I enjoy piano, guitar, once in a while singing. It's been a long time. I won't try on this microphone here. But that's definitely something I enjoy. And then, of course, the Colorado lifestyle. We've been in Colorado now for almost 11 years. Love the outdoors. I love the fact that even right now we're in fall or winter and we have a chance to go outside and there's the sun is out. I can ride my bike, tow my dog behind a little kid cart. Just have a lot of fun.
That's great. So in the intro, we kind of told the story about how we got to meet Greg and helping us create these refining moments. But Greg Hernandez, from your perception, tell us about your company, G. Carl Company, and what you're all about.
Well, that's a loaded question. We can spend way too much time on that. But as we go through life, and as we start to age, I'm a baby boomer. We start to think about what's really important in life. And I was coming to a point in my professional career where at my age, I felt like my assignments in management, managing investment groups, things along that line might last 2 to 3 years max, maybe 4 or 5. And we're living in a big home, empty nest. And I'll never forget a refining moment for me was having my wife say to me, "You can take a job wherever you want, but I'm not leaving. You'll have to commute home on the weekends." And I'm thinking, why am I still doing this? Why am I striving to keep the big house? We're empty nest. We get visitors once or twice a year. We could put them up at a hotel for what we're spending on this home. So why am I doing this? Where am I going to go? And I had always thought about going to the field of professional speaking, training, developing people. And I think back to my corporate career. And one of the things that I lead off with many times when I speak is, have you ever met an executive or a business owner in this case that didn't seem to have a care in the world? Financially, they were set for life, but relationally, they were bankrupt. Or physically, they were the next heart attack waiting to happen. And I would see that. We would work so hard to help build up a substantial net worth for individuals, but were we looking at the entire person? And you get to an age where you start to think there's more important things to life. So it's how do we bring that all together, what I call refinement planning versus retirement planning.
Wow, I'm hooked. Tell us some resources where we could go learn about this. I keep hearing refining moments. What have you done about refining moments?
Well, I started my own website, of course. It's under G. Carl Company. But the book I wrote is called Refining Moments, subtitle, Shaping Your Successes and Setbacks into Significance. And I guess at the root of it is that we're all screw-ups in many regards. We go around with this posturing, especially in the type of work that we do. We want to make sure people are confident in us, competent, that we're professional, and we go around acting like we have it all together. But I think at the core, there's a little boy or a little girl inside of us that's still kind of crying out, what if people realize I don't have all the answers? And that kind of led to my subtitle, my business card, An Ordinary Guy Helping People Achieve Extraordinary Results. Because I'm really... I hate to tell your listeners, a nobody. I'm just an ordinary guy.
No.
But I do not have the PhD in family counseling, the MBA in business, just a little bit of everything coming together. So I put together this book, just some simple thoughts on how we can strive towards continuous improvement in all aspects of life. We can all improve until the day we take our last breath.
So to go back to the beginning, like we talked in the intro, how we got to meet Greg through his business classes doing the sales presentation, that it all started way back when May, who we've talked a lot about on this show over the years, him and I both wanted to be great public speakers and really be the face or leader of our company. And Nick found Greg and came in and did kind of some self-coaching with him and I that has evolved to my Mountain View family. And now he's become part of the Mountain View family. And I kind of want to peel back some of the layers about how that all happened. Because I think what you talked about when we're talking about the art of construction, we're always talking about getting it right on paper before you go do the project. But I also think you got to get your story right to say the right things when you get in front of somebody. And that's what I think has been so great for Greg to come in and listen with a fresh set of eyes. And I'm so proud of my Mountain View family, how they've allowed him to come in and other people to listen and say, hey, there's another way we could maybe tweak this or align this or refine this. And one of the things that we're going to be doing already from this that's so cool is just looking at things as job titles. Everybody hates titles and we don't want to talk about it, but you got to tell the story or set the stage. So, Greg, tell us about the process of meeting with our sales reps that are currently called sales consultants and what the first of the year they're going to be refined to.
Well, there's a lot there, Devin. And as we look at your organization, or as listeners are thinking about their organization, many times we have a preconceived notion of job titles, job function. You're a sales rep, go out and close sales. If we think more in terms holistically, if that's not overused, it's what do we really bring to the table? And I really believe that if we can tap into our past experience, whether it's in this industry or another industry, what have we learned? What have been our successes and setbacks? Because that brings a sense of authenticity to any conversation that we have, whether it's with an existing client or whether it's meeting someone for the very first time. I heard the phrase years ago, and I think it makes sense to this conversation, storytelling, story selling. And so much of what I believe people are looking for today is personality and some face-to-face and some sense of connection. I'm grateful for our technological world, but let's face it, there's still nothing like sitting down across from somebody and seeing the look in their eyes when they're nodding their head, and someone in your audience may have come together with a design they've never dreamed of, and they get that aha moment. That gives you a deep sense of satisfaction. So how do we capture that in our conversations? How do our sales personnel, our sales reps, become a trusted advisor? So as we think about everyone in our office, from front desk to what we might call a sales rep, to our technicians, to our people out in the field, if we're aiming for a client relationship, it's a different model than perhaps the old days of aiming for a customer relationship. Many times a customer is one and done, and that's fine. They help pay the bills. But a client becomes much more of an advocate. They provide you with useful feedback so that you can grow your business. They're a sense of referrals. They become an advocate for you. Well, if we want to serve a client, then perhaps we need to be a cut above a traditional sales rep. Here's my needs analysis. Here's my presentation. Let's close the sale. How do we get to that trusted advisor, to that project manager, to that designer, to that valued relationship? And as an employer, how do we go from just hiring employees to hiring trusted partners? So they all work together, and I believe it all comes down to knowing who we are deep down and being able to express that, having a sense of mission and purpose out there. So that's some of the groundwork that we're laying with the sales force here at your company.
That's so great. So, Kevin, I'd love for you to chime in. It's so great having you as the co-host that actually lives some of this stuff, where I go blah, blah, blah and throw all this stuff in here. And I can say all I want to say about how great Mountain View welcomed Greg and all this stuff. But one of the refining moments with Greg goes back to the beginning after the first presentation. I'd love for you to tell the audience when I went into your office and what your answer was, if you recall that.
I don't know the exact phrase or the exact description, but I, you know, in reflecting back, to me, it was amazing to see everybody's participation at such a high level, you know, that everybody really bought into the power of what Greg had to talk about. Because for me, I've been through a lot of these trainings, and, you know, Greg and I had an opportunity to spend a little time prior to that talking about our backgrounds. We have a very similar background, and so I understood his mindset. And so, you know, when we set this up and talked to the sales people in advance, it was kind of like, oh, another one of these kind of things that we have to sit through. And the reaction afterwards was extremely positive about how not only was it fun and constructive, but that it was going to be real productive going forward. So
I remember it like it's yesterday. Okay. Because it really was a refining moment. And it goes back to what you put on paper is much more likely to come true. So again, Greg's tagline is, in an ordinary guy helping people achieve extraordinary results. And when I walked into your office after that presentation, that's when I said we're moving forward with Greg, is because your answer was, is I just figured he was going to be another presentation, but he was like one of us. Yeah. I felt like he could truly grow our business. He was part of the tribe. And that's what we're trying to create with the Art of Construction. And that's why I was so excited to have Greg into Studio AOC, is because the extension of the Art of Construction is Mountain View and Indoor, that we bring these real practices that we learn day in, day out into here to talk to you about. When we talk about our advisory council, that's so important because you don't have enough time and you don't have enough money. So you better surround yourself around good people that you like and trust because you don't have enough time to make all the mistakes yourself. And if you do, you're going to run out of money and go broke. So people like Greg come in and help us be better at those things that you're so busy to, you don't have time to get to the stuff that in the end of the day, it's the most important stuff. It's kind of like the training earlier today. We hired a new gal at the front desk. Her name is Cindy, and she wants to learn all the stuff in the company. And so I did a role play, which you never make enough time to do that stuff so that when the true customer comes in. So I'm doing the role play that everybody should be making a habit to do that. And I'm kind of out of practice because I'm not selling day in, day out. But none of that matters. The fact is that we did it. And my takeaway was, as Greg said, the key is what you say when they come in. And what they and what at the beginning and the end. So, Greg, talk about kind of the, some of the stuff that, though it be for Mountain View Window and Door, but I think any business or any contractor or architect listening to this to say, sometimes you got to give and you will get, or you got to kind of pay up front and find a way to craft that. You know, we don't have endless amounts of funds, so Greg came in and found a way to make it work, and then we're working on getting that to build it up next year with a true plan that puts into our budget and our succession.
And let me back up a moment, because you probably forgot my initial comment after meeting your group. And I said, I still want you to keep me on board and pay me, but if I can't help this group, there's no one I can help. And by that I meant the foundation was laid. You could sense that when you walk through the door. And those that are listening, you know when you walk into, whether it's something as simple as a fast food place or a fine restaurant or a bank lobby, you can tell when people are there because they have to be there or where there's an environment where people want to be there. So it starts off with having a good foundation, and that's what we have here, and that's what I hope your listeners are always looking for on how they can improve the foundation so that it becomes much easier to onboard people, so that people sense there's something different than you. Going back years ago in my training, I was privileged to participate in some Deming training. Edwards Deming, the father of what is a total quality management, or TQC, continuous improvement. And I remember a quote that stuck with me. It was a refining moment for me. And that's that hard work and best efforts might only dig deeper the pit that one is in. So we have to be careful and make sure that we're very strategic in where, like you said, where we are spending our dollars and resources. But again, it starts with a firm foundation. Are you, as a business owner, open to change and to learning and to transformation? If you are, then your people will be as well.
Well, and I think sometimes it's important to look at simple things like language. I mean, you talk about the difference between referring to somebody you're doing business with as a customer versus a client. It's funny you mention that, because when I first came on board, you know my background, I came from the financial world. I was in corporate real estate, and everybody that did business with me was a client. So when I came in here, everybody used the term customer, and it took me a while to kind of turn the ship the other way to think of people as customer versus client, and now we're kind of thinking strategically of doing the other. So it really does make sense to look at your approach, your language, and all of those things to make sure you're not only delivering what you want, but the like you said, the overall foundation is what your expectation is.
And that's why support staff is extremely important. If there's someone that represents you and answers your phone, literally, you had me at hello. It could make or break all that we're doing, all the effort you put into the latest software, planning software, things along that line. Your hello could make it or break it. And again, there's no way to fake enthusiasm or passion for the business they're representing.
Excellent. So let's take some deep dives and talk about some true examples that Greg has helped as being inside a Mountain View Window and Door. And I'll start with one today, and then maybe we could all give an example of something that we were doing different than going forward, because this is all about helping us grow our companies and learning and moving forward. So we have a practice in our business that we call the needs analysis, and it's a list of questions that the idea is, if you don't know, you ask these questions to get to do the proper quote and get what the customer needs. And one of the questions we have is, are you familiar with U factors? And that's what was kind of came from the window world of asking that, which is very few people actually know. So it's a very threatening question. But after the presentation, what was the spin of what is U factors to what Greg is saying, how we should ask the question about that?
Well, whenever we ask any question, it's helpful if we don't just smack the client or the customer with a question and they're wondering why. Even something as simple as an email. Can I get your email? Well, right away they're thinking spam, marketing materials, as opposed to, for faster communication, can I have your email address? Or should I need to connect with you sooner? So in line of the technical question, obviously I'm new to this industry and hit me pretty hard. It made me feel kind of dumb. Am I supposed to know that? Do my neighbors know what that means? So you had used a line later on in your presentation, and we talked about maybe putting that line first. As you know, energy efficiency is so important here in Colorado. Then you go on to the questioning. So they have a reason. So they understand why you're asking the question.
Excellent. Kevin, you have an example of what Greg has helped with Mountain View?
Well, one of the things that comes to mind, and it's not something that Greg helped with, but I think, and Greg, you can comment on this, but one of the things that we do, we have up front, we have our director of first impressions. You know, Greg talked about the importance of that first impression on the telephone or in person. When we have people come into the showroom where we're having a big meeting, or even when we have guests on the podcast, our director, Becky, of first impressions will put together on a chalkboard their name and welcome them to Mountain View. And it is amazing the responses that we get from that, from everybody from just your first time client or customer to somebody who has been working with us for a long time, comes in and sees that. It's overwhelmingly consistent that everybody seems to appreciate that. And that just sets the groundwork for what the experience is here at Mountain View. So,
and when you set that expectation that you're always going to inspect what you expect, it just leads to that continuous improvement. Today, you shared with the individual you're working with, why don't you call someone else on the phone, call a competitor, or walk into their showroom and see how you are greeted? You had mentioned to her that that's how you came up with this needs analysis in the first place, because rather than just being pitched automatically, you wanted to make it much more personalized, and you were interested in learning their true desires, goals, dreams, everything else. So whether it's a restaurant, a business practice such as this, a bank, again, take time to secret shop. Have someone call your staff and report back to you on how they responded. I mean, everyone can have a bad day, but again, it goes back to what's the day in and day out underlying sense of mission, purpose, why we are here.
Excellent. I have to give one more example that I just cringe when I see myself on the original MBTV videos, and that's our YouTube channel with the videos, is the posturing. So the first training Greg did for us was help me out on the pose. What's the neutral position, correct?
There's a neutral pose, arms down to the sides, just relax. You can watch TV and see any weatherman or weather lady stand that way. There's the fig leaf, where you're blocking, you know where. And it's like, I'm naked, I'm scared, I'm in front of this audience. There's the pallbearer, arms behind you, dearly beloved, we were remembering. It's just a matter of our nervous twitches or habits that we may have that we will never uncover unless someone's observing us intentionally or taking a video of yourself. I challenge anyone on this podcast here, on this radio, put your cell phone up and have someone videotape you speaking. And see what it looks like.
Yeah.
Well, that's what's amazing. You get a group of guys together and gals that are involved in the sales arena, and they have no problem doing that on a regular basis because that's what we do. But you get up in front of your peers, and all of a sudden you're given a mission. Greg will say, okay, now I want you to do the following or tell the following story. And you get up there, next thing you know, you're the fig leaf or you're the pallbearer. But once you see that and once you understand it, and then Greg gives you a little bit of an idea of how to kind of work out that tension, the second round, that's the amazing part.
Yes.
First round is like, okay, we all do that. We're all human. Second round, the improvement is phenomenal in terms of just understanding what the techniques are. When you think about it, whether you're a golfer and you're learning to swing for the first time, well, many of us don't look too good after many swings.
But I mean, that's what I was going to say.
I know. But the reality is, the first time you were to ever grab a golf club and go out and sit in front of a trainer, you're going to look terrible, right, in front of a professional. So, you know, after a few swings, then you're starting to get it, and that's what it takes. You get a few pointers, you know, and it was all fun. That was the great part, is that the improvement was fabulous.
And some learning lessons here along the way is, you know what you know. Like the first videos that, when, you know, we've hired mainstream Beth Klepper, who's now integrally involved with Mountain View. We have Greg, who's integrally involved in helping us be better as presenters. Before we had those people outsourced inside to the company, we didn't know what we were doing, right? But then once you get trained and educated, it's so much better. But I challenge everybody, sometimes good is good enough. By turning on the camera and me being deathly afraid of it to now I look forward to that, it's putting yourself off the cliff and making it happen. But surround yourself around good people to craft it and make it work. So I challenge anybody listening to this to find their Greg Hernandez wherever they're at in the world. And if you're in Colorado, that would be my call to action, is reach out to him to have him do his sales presentation class, because that's what we all struggle with, is that sales presentation. And that's where we found the right fit, that he really worked and meshed with Mountain View and could build it from there.
And one of the key things to think about is everybody listening to this might be saying, well, I'm not in sales, so I don't need to think about that or do that. The reality is, as we know it, we are all in sales. And the fact of the matter is, you're presenting to, you know, you're presenting to prospective clients with respect to architecture and that kind of thing, whatever the case may be, you know, building a new home. And so, you know, having the ability to create that rapport and common communication is so critical. And this makes it fun. This makes it much more effective, much more fun. You know, yes, there's some initial kind of working through the nerves, but trust me, once you get past that, it is great and the results are phenomenal. So I suggest everybody kind of give that some thought, to really kind of set yourself out there a little bit and take a risk.
So I've given you some examples from my perception of how you've helped my company, Mountain View, in the art of construction. I'd love for you to give us a couple of examples of things that you've came in and tweaked or adjusted or had conversations about.
Well, in support of what you gentlemen both shared, and first of all, thank you for those kind words of encouragement. As you and I have been talking lately, it's more than just the conversation, or it's not a sales script, it's not just how to say hello, but it's the art of constructive conversation. And I just took a play off your title here, the art of constructive conversation, because every conversation, every communication point, whether it's our email, whether it's, well, so we've had examples in the media lately, at Twitter, tweets. What impression are you setting? What message are you communicating? And something, if we go back to when we first met, we talked about knowledge plus personality equals persuasive power. And what I am seeing as I'm getting to know this industry is that construction, architecture, windows, they're high tech, they're sexy. Who knew? I didn't know. If you were to ask me a year ago, hey, you're going to bring some value to a window and door company, what value could I possibly bring? But in this day and age, going back to people seeking personality, connection, and expertise and quality, many jobs are not going by the wayside. But let's face it, you can look up a window or a door or other goods and services your people are out there representing online. You can gather a lot of information. So knowledge is important. You have to have that. That's just your ticket to play. But personality, and by personality, I don't just mean your smile or how you appear. That's important. But everything that makes us up, how we show up, our attitude in the morning, all of that comes into play. You can think back to a leader or a manager that you've had in the past that had the knowledge but no personality. Or someone had tons of personality, no knowledge. But when you put those two together, it really comes through in persuasive power. And by power, I mean helping guide clients through the process, helping to get them to a win-win situation. So that's what we're going to continue to build upon here, is those constructive conversations, walking through the door, walking through the showroom, what to expect in terms of follow-up communication from us. All those things come full circle, and every team member needs to be on the same page.
Well, one of the critical things, I think, is what you just touched on, and that is that trusted advisory relationship is a common denominator with everybody listening out there. You know, the power comes when you work with clients and you can not only end up with a great result, but you can help prevent a lot of trouble along the way. There's all kinds of pitfalls. You think about how many horror stories you hear about construction, remodeling. In our world, the window world, I mean, there's a ton of experiences that aren't friendly to people. And yet, even when it's not friendly, they're spending a ton of money. So why not think about that trusted relationship where you can have a successful project and avoid all of those kinds of pitfalls and end up with a good result. That's the key.
And that brings to mind some thoughts today, Devin, from sitting in one of your presentations as you were talking about overcoming the obstacles and things along that line. That's where we can sit down together as a group. That's where I would challenge listeners to sit down with their trusted advisors and go through some of the messaging. How do we word some of these phrases, or not phrases, but concepts, things that you are used to? I learned early on, you gentlemen coached me that something will always go wrong in a project. It's just a matter of how you handle it. So perhaps we set that expectation up from the very beginning. The friendly skies are when we're flying an automatic pilot, but there will be turbulence. My job is to help guide you through that turbulence. Or there will be white water, bringing a Colorado rafting analogy here. My job is to help avoid those boulders and steer you through the white water. I mean, it's mental pictures. I love, and Devin, you've read my book, Thoughts on Right Brain, Left Brain. And one of the things I've learned about this industry is that you have the benefit of operating on both sides of the brain. And take a look at the title of this podcast, The Art. We think of creativity. We think of right brain type activities, construction. We think of technology. We think of factors. I mean, you can't be off by a quarter of an inch. You get to put both worlds together here. And that's what we need to message with the people that we serve.
Excellent. So tell us the story on the sales presentation about refining moment for you when you went to a class and they asked you all of the words on the power from the male to the female perspective back in the day, because that really hit home for me on the training that you put out.
And that's a great topic that, again, we could spend a whole other hour on. But this left brain, right brain, as a baby boomer, Kevin, you can relate to this easily.
Absolutely.
We were brought up in the generation, I like to tell folks or my kids when they're shocked at some of the rhetoric they've heard on TV lately, hey, it's nothing new to me. I grew up with the last of the Mad Men era. When I started off with a major investment firm in the late 80s, you stop and think about it, my managers, supervisors came out of the Mad Men 60s era, yuck, 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 and it's a man's world. And I learned that much of our management style, things along that line, came from the industrial age, where you just bark out orders and you better follow. Sergeant, take the troops this direction or charge that hill, private. You don't sit there and say, well, let's have a focus group or listen to a podcast first. So it was very bottom line. I'm the boss. You're the employee. I bark an order. You follow it. In this day and age, your employees, the people you work with, can research again. They can Google just about anything. And they could realize that you really don't know everything you're talking about. So that leads us to the information age, or the age of participation. And you've heard some of my humorous stories or read about them, where many times, and we're not going to go completely in this direction right now, but many times, young ladies or young girls were brought up to exchange information. We were in football huddles, hike, throw the ball, run here, as opposed to let's visit, let's have a conversation. How are you feeling today? I noticed you're not quite on par today. And that's what we're looking for in today's environment, is people that can communicate on that level, some of that right brain conversation.
So what you're saying is kind of the old school mentality of the kind of hoorah-rah men perspective to the female delicate in the words that you would use for those in the past. It's kind of it's not a gender thing anymore. It's more about being able to work both ways and put yourself into that hug mentality.
Well, it's a balanced world. It's not a man's world. It's not a woman's world. It's a balanced world. Going back to that training that you asked me about, I remember years ago now being called into a conference room and the facilitator started off and said, men, what comes to mind when you think about men? And it was a group of just men. We were all VP and above, type A driver personalities. And we had words like tough, aggressive, decisive, my way or the highway. And that goes back to that industrial age or war. And then he said, men, what comes to mind when you think of women? And we had words, and sorry, ladies, this was a group of men. We had words like soft, caring, intuitive, sixth sense, communication. And then he stepped back, and this was my refining moment, and probably led me to where I'm at today. Men, as we are going to this next century, which skill set do you think corporate America is looking for in their leaders? And it just hit us right between the eyes. It just smacked us right upside the side of the head. And I will challenge you, it's not just corporate America. It's in what may have been a stereotypical male industry, construction, in the building, in design, because it's no longer a man's world or a woman's world. It's a balanced world.
And that's what I think is so great for our listeners to hear this, is that it's not a male-female thing here. And you see a lot more, you know, in the construction industry is probably still a little bit more male-dominated, people out working day-to-day out in what we would call logistics in my life of service, install, and delivery. But the females now could be translating that information. So to be, you know, the tough love, or you better just go figure it out and not communicate back, it's really hard to collaborate properly when we're always talking about getting all the team into the room and all collaborating and working together. And I think it's kind of a refining moment for me as we do these shows and we bring all these new people into the studio AOC and we listen to what they're saying. A lot of it comes back to this kind of, think about what words and how you're going to work to collaborate, wouldn't you say, Kevin?
No, absolutely. And the other thing that comes to mind is that we all have, you know, more dominant personality traits, thought process, and sometimes we've got to be really careful to recognize that that's a perfect example of the difference between maybe an old school, new school approach, plus the fact of the matter is people have multiple different ways of looking at things. So you kind of have to understand that it isn't always your way or the highway. You have to be able to adapt to people's personality. If you're talking to somebody from New York, it's going to be, you know, give me the information, give it to me quick, and you got to be able to respond. If you give that sort of a response to somebody that's more easygoing and slower in their thought process, you're going to cream them, and that's not going to be a good result either way. So you really have to think about these alternative ways of working, recognize your own tendencies, and be willing to adapt a little bit.
So, Greg, I got one that I'm going to hit you with that you said the same to us on your sales presentation class when we were there. You said, just go up and talk to us for 3 minutes and say whatever you want to say. Audience, I did not script this or tell Greg what's going to go. He just walked into this and I said, let's go have a fireside chat. So, Greg, you got architects and contractors in the audience. I'm going to do the intro and you're going to come up on the stage and you're going to send a presentation not knowing anything. You just happen to be in the audience and the other presenter wasn't able to speak, so now you're stepping up to the platform. So if we didn't set the stage properly, Greg Hernandez is an ordinary guy helping achieve extraordinary results. His company is the G. Carl Company, who he worked his way up in the ranks as a financial consultant, sales director, vice president, division manager, vice president of future markets, and made an excellent career in the banking industry, and found out that he wanted to start over and be a presenter. So welcome to the stage, the one and only Gregory K. Hernandez.
Well, thank you, Devin, for that test, putting me right on the spot, but I will be prepared. Because you left out some of the key aspects of the bio here. Let's see. Financial consultant, sales director for the private bank, division manager investments, blah, 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 blah. It sounds impressive, but here's where the ordinary guy comes in. Who's this talking head on the podcast, and why should I be listening to him? Well, let me back up. That bio may sound impressive, but how about this for an introductory bio? I'm 18 years old, married, with a child on the way, working at Taco Bell. How's life looking so far? But it was the ability to determine and refine my refining moments, moments that placed me on my path, purpose, and calling in life that brought me to where I am today. And as I look back at some of those that have had an impact in my life, I want to do the same. I want to have an impact on others. I want to create a legacy of leadership. The very first gentleman that had a major impact on my life was the boss at Taco Bell. In front of my friends, he said, Greg, I could see you being an assistant manager someday. And I laughed because I was embarrassed. He embarrassed me in front of my friends. He stepped me outside and said, I see something in you. He laid into me. He said, I see something in you. How are you going to lead these people when they hear you laugh? And I thought about that. And at that moment, I had no idea it was a major decision, but I made a commitment to myself that I will always try hard. And if someone sees something in me, I'm going to run with it. So as we start to age, we want to give back. And I challenge your listeners, When's, or think of someone that said that to you, I see something in you. But more importantly, when's the last time you had a chance to say that to somebody? And I know you gentlemen here, that's what you love about this business. You can take someone off the street, if you will, and put them in, on the path, purpose, and calling in life that they may have never anticipated. So that's what I'm all about, is helping uncover talent. We're teasing that I'm giving myself a title of a talent acceleration coach. But that's what we want to do, and that's what your business is about. So to your listeners, if you're listening at this point in the podcast, it's because you have a commitment to continuous improvement. You want to better yourself, and hopefully you want to better the lives of others. How was that? Was that 3 minutes?
Boom! Attaboy. I knew I could put you on the spot and you'd come through. And that's what you've definitely done for my company. And we really appreciate everything that you do for the Art of Construction. And hopefully you listeners feel the same. And I challenge you to come back and leave a review, maybe do a video for yourself, send it in. We'd be happy to critique it and send it over to Greg and talk through. And hopefully we gave you some more tools in your toolbox to help you grow your business, lead, and really, you know, giving you a get. So I challenge you to go take your company and create some refining moments. And wherever you are in the world, find a G. Carl company. And thanks for everything you do for us on the Art of Construction, Greg. Knocked it out of the park.
It definitely did, you know, and it's the amazing thing to me is just how much fun the process has been and is. And podcast interview was the same with Greg. So
yeah, and give him so much credit, because to come in, set that up, to come in and get welcome, to have people do public speaking, and then come in and from an outsider to help constructive criticism and having people excited about that. What a feat that he has been able to do. And his perceptions and how he brings things to the table is just so refining, quote his Refining Moments book, that I definitely challenge people to read. It just brings back a lot of stuff to just keep you going on the right path. And that's what's so important, to have a work culture and a life culture that's all balancing together.
And for me, the key was, and you reminded me of what I commented to you about after our initial workshop that we had with Greg, and that was that he was the real deal. You know, that from that, I mean, he not only had great ideas and techniques, but the guy just immediately kind of connected with everybody in a way that put down all the fences. You know, granted, everybody was still a little bit nervous about public speaking and being asked to go up in front of the room and speak on an impromptu basis for 3 minutes, et cetera. But that aside, everybody felt comfortable because Greg made everybody feel comfortable. And the effectiveness of that was huge, which we can all take into account in our daily conversations with customers, friends, and so forth. So I think it's pretty powerful.
And right now I'm listening to the audiobook Start With Why by Simon Sinek, and I've been through it a couple times, and I believe in the knowing and understanding your why, as well as the E-Myth Revisited. And I think those concepts are so important, because whether you're listening to this, if you're the lone soldier in your company, or you're an owner with 100 employees, there's a company as evolution goes through, and these books and people like Greg along the way, is that when you start a company, you better figure out your why, because you are the company, and anybody you hire goes off of you. And I'm in such a great position that I've grown my company past to where the culture and the why is out there. Everybody's telling the story on my behalf, but I don't have enough time or money to do it all myself. You can't afford to not hire people like Greg Hernandez along the way to come in and give fresh ideas and perspectives. And that's what we've done at Mountain View. And right now we're in that spot of figuring it out. Where does Greg fit into the culture, and where does he spend his time? And that takes time to figure out, just like it took me time to figure out what channels and where we're going to go with the company. So two call to actions is to check out Start With Why and the E-Myth Revisited, along with the book of Greg's of Refining Moments, to put it all together.
Yeah, and the one thing I would also say to anybody out there that's still not quite believing Devin and I or Greg, and that is to go back to the last podcast with Neil Evers. And Neil spoke specifically about what they do to present themselves in front of their clients, because their clients are always asking. They're in a small community where clients are talking to a lot of their competitors, and that's a big part of their positioning statement, is why they should consider hiring HMH. And that was part of that whole process of why. They know their why. They believe in their why. And they're finding that it's extremely effective. So, again, it's one of those things that we think is has common ground with everybody out there listening. So.
Well, Greg, thanks for everything you're doing and creating all these refining moments, and you're definitely leaving a legacy into the construction industry, and you're only a couple months in. So I can't wait as we see what we can do in 2017 as you're helping us build the culture, the brand, the goals, and the dreams for all of us to help us truly grow our business. Thanks for everything you do.
You have been listening to The Art of Construction, specifically designed for contractors and architects to help grow your business. To listen to more, please go to www.mtnview.us and click on the podcast tab. Don't forget to like us on Facebook, and thanks for listening.